listener production.
Hey, Bension Siebert here for The Briefing. At pubs around the country, people are watching pairs of coins tossed in the air for the classic Anzac Day tradition of playing two up. Across most of the country, it's illegal to play this quintessentially Australian game any other day other than Anzac Day. But one pub in Broken Hill, the far west New South Wales mining town near the border of South Australia, it's played legally every Friday night. So how is it that two-up is legal any time of the year at this pub in the middle of the outback? To explain, ringmaster of two-up at the Palace Hotel in Broken Hill, Fisk Nagus, joins us right now. Fisk, thanks for joining us on The Briefing.
No problem, Benson. My pleasure.
So tell me, do you remember your first ever game of two-up?
Yes, absolutely. I probably never played two-up before the hotel was granted the license to conduct the game of two-up. So I was completely mystified by the game. I had absolutely no idea what was going on at all. And as you'd appreciate, it's not something that you could go and do a course or partake in a gaming license and get someone to explain the rules of the game to you. It's something that is handed down and needs to be learnt in that hands-on approach, I suppose. But yeah, I was completely mystified, had no idea what was happening.
Did you win?
No, absolutely not. Two-up's a very social way to lose your money, Bensian.
Okay, well, tell us about it. For anyone who's not heard or heard of it or played two-up before, what is it? How do you play? What are the rules?
So the game involves two coins and a kip or a simple piece of wood to hold the coins. We use Australian pennies. The pennies are very good because they've got the King George's head on them, which takes up most of the coin, and you can clearly identify what they are. On the reverse side of the coin, we put white crosses to signify tails, and people bet and wager on the outcome. So the spinner comes in, and the spinner in traditional two-up wants heads to win. If they throw a pair of heads three times, we pay them 5-1. If they throw a pair of tails, they're out and they lose and we look for another spinner. While the spinner is playing in the middle, they are betting against one individual in the crowd, but then it also opens up the game for other spectators and other people on the side to then wager amongst themselves.
So just so people can imagine how it looks like, there's kind of a square in the middle of the Palace Hotel. It's got checkerboard floor. There's a spinner who's throwing up two coins, and then there's a crowd all the way around, and people are putting notes on the side of the square, putting in bets on how the coins will flip.
That's exactly right. It looks like a bit of organised chaos, but that's pretty much fundamentally it. And every Friday night you can come down.
So tell us what's happening today. It's Anzac Day at the Palace Hotel. It's a big day.
It is a big day. The location of the hotel is very close proximity to the cenotaph or a monument depicted for the returned soldiers. So it's right across the road from us diagonally and where the local dawn service is held. And so we'll have someone on our balcony playing bagpipes perhaps early in the morning, and it's before the sun comes up. It's quite a somber, eerie experience. So the two-up starts when people want to play. It can be a long day, and we've played two-up for 12 hours straight before. It's pretty much midday to midnight. And it's great to see some return servicemen, some older diggers, some older gentlemen come in and thoroughly enjoy themselves. It's, as they often say, it's Christmas Day for diggers.
To give us kind of an impression of the chaos of it, sort of how many people are generally there on Anzac Day?
Generally, about lunchtime, just after the march concludes, there could be, you know, a couple of hundred people spread across the building, congregated in the pavilion. It's a whole raft of people from, you know, young children to some tourists, some backpackers, some mothers and fathers as well, their grandparents and maybe some returned servicemen. Usually they sort of break off into their own little groups and keep the distance, I suppose, and not really socializing at this stage. It's then the game starts and sort of brings everyone together. I think last year, from memory, we had a group of sailors that were in Broken Hill being a bit landlocked. It was quite interesting to get them all together and share their experiences. But it's a wonderful day. It's a great social day.
So what is the history behind this, and how is it that the Palace Hotel gained this pretty extraordinary license to have Two Up any day of the year?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. The origins of Two Up are a little bit unknown, but I think it was quite plausible to say that it was brought across to Australia with the convicts and played in that respect. But I suppose where Australia's association really takes hold is during World War One, where the Australian Anzac troops, New Zealand troops, were playing in Gallipoli and continue to play in the trenches and then bring the game back to Australia. And I think it sort of took root in mining communities, smaller rural regional areas. And Broken Hill, I suppose, was a heavy mining community. It took a hold quite strongly. It was played, I think, illegally in one of the back alleys in the community. And I think everyone just sort of turned a blind eye to it. And I think in 1984, the game was raided by the police and permanently shut down. I believe in about 1988, our local council lobbied the government to award us a license based on cultural significance and heritage. I think it was awarded to us in 89, and we operate the license on behalf of the city council. I think it's a significant date as well. Around the same time, I believe that the rest of Australia could also play Two Up on Anzac Day throughout the rest of the country in hotels and RSLs. So I think it was around the same time that it was made open to the public on that day, that it was awarded to us for us to play all year round.
You mentioned kind of how it brings the community together, but can you talk a little bit about the importance of this game in Broken Hill in general?
Yeah, absolutely. The social aspect is one of the aspects of the game that I love the most. Broken Hill is a transient sort of community, insofar as, yes, there's diehard locals and generational locals as well, which I'm one of them. But it's also a transient population as far as mining, as government, there's health, there's teaching. There's quite a lot of professionals who come, stay for a brief period and they'll leave. And it's quite often that you'll get groups of people coming in, socialising in the hotel on a Friday night, but they don't really interact with the other groups of patrons. But it's the game of Two Up that is the common thread in the community that I find, where because of the social aspect of the game and because it's the game where no one really knows how to play. So it brings you out of yourself, where you need to, you know, ask the question of how to play. Then it's quite often that the other people in the ring who are playing will explain the rules to others. And I think it's the nature of the game that is so cohesive for us. Look, I've been playing Two Up for, running the game for Two Up for almost 10 years. It's very rarely that you won't get a group of people who are meeting for the first time on a Friday night. And it's interesting that everyone will go back to their day jobs on Monday through the week, but it's the social aspect of the game that brings everyone together week after week, month after month. It's a very personal experience, and friendships that have been formed. I mean, myself, I've made friends with people new to Broken Hill, but I think, I hope that the friendships will last a long time.
Yeah, well, I can definitely relate to that. I was one of those transient people working in Broken Hill when I was working for the ABC, and I remember how kind of wonderful it was. Well, Fisk, this has been a really fascinating chat. Thanks so much for speaking with us on The Briefing.
No problem. My pleasure, Vincent. Thank you very much.
Fisk Nagus there. And that's all for this Anzac Day special episode of The Briefing. Before you go, we'd love it if you could share this ep with someone you think might enjoy it, maybe after you challenge them to a game of Two Up. We'll have another episode in your feed tomorrow from 6 a.m. I'm Ben Sion-Siebert. Catch you next time.